No, you know what? Just fire it up. I'm not even going to read ahead because it'll just ruin the fun. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, it's that time of year in the People's Republic of Fort Collins when the college girls put on their bikinis and go out in their yards. Unfortunately, most of the college girls wearing the bikinis outside in their yards are not that fucking attractive.
Trump and Fiora!
I'm in a good mood, man. I went trail running. Yeah. Oh my god. The episode you heard before this, I was a little flat. I felt a little, after it was over, I'm like, I was a little flat. You can scream or shout with all your might. Oh, and you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company while he's sending missiles to Syria. Oh, because he's the God Emperor. It's going to be America first. Now we're going to have some real change. See, Donald Trump, he's not like the other presidents. Oh, no. He's going to be different. Oh, God fucking damn it. Wake up, motherfucker. Greetings. Who the fuck am I? I'm the Great One himself, and this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on Syria. Just like Donald Trump launches missiles at Syria, I launch missiles at stupid motherfuckers. Doesn't matter, you can be a stupid motherfucking left-wing statist, stupid motherfucking right-wing statist, you can be a stupid motherfucking feminist, you can be a stupid motherfucking GLBTKKKer, you can be a stupid motherfucking right-winger on the fucking YouTube who wants to get, oh my god, my videos got demonetized. Give money to my Patreon account because I can't shut up about free market, but I can't get a job. Oh, I can't get a job. I have to cyber beg. Oh, look at me. I'm so conservative. I'm so right wing. I just suck Donald Trump's cock. I swallow all his cum. Give me money on Patreon because I can't get a job. Oh, yeah. So anyhow, I'm in a good mood. You may not have noticed that. Hi, what's up? Went trail running. You know, unlike you. Dude, I just saw the amazing atheist. I looked at a video by him the other day. And he's like this big, fat, pasty white guy. And he's talking. And, you know, I could see the rolls of fat jiggling underneath his shirt. And I'm thinking, why is it all you motherfuckers out there don't go outside, right? This is the kind of guy, if he ever got any exercise, it would probably kill him. And maybe that's why he avoids exercise. Because if he attempted to get some exercise, or if some sunlight touched his skin, or if he burned a fucking calorie, he would die. And since he doesn't believe in God, then there's no afterlife, and he would be dead and gone, which would make the world a better place, because he's obviously a fucking idiot. And I can say that without ever even watching any of his fucking videos, because I just can, because he looks like a fucking idiot. And you don't like that? Well, go fuck yourself. You don't have to listen to this podcast. I'm an anarcho-capitalist. I can say what the fuck I want. You don't have to listen to it. Fuck you. Anyhow, get the fuck off the internet. Go the fuck outside, people. Get some goddamn fresh air. Try getting some goddamn exercise, okay? Maybe you could remove your head from your ass. If you got some, maybe while you're out there getting some exercise, maybe you would think of a way that you could make some fucking money other than cyber begging, so that I don't have to fucking hear about it. Okay, I'm talking to all of you fucking right-winging motherfuckers out there who can't shut the fuck up about donate money to your fucking Patreon account, all right? And the longer Donald Trump is in office, the more I'm going to start laying some smackdown on you fucking right-wing fucking faggots out there who can't shut up about the free market and capitalism, but you're fucking terrified to go and fucking participate in it, okay? Fuck you. All right, moving forward. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. Unlike you, I have been podcasting for 12 fucking years. Suck my fucking dick. Unlike you, I don't spend fucking hours every day fucking slaving over a goddamn feminist book account because I'm not a goddamn faggot. I have a life. I have friends. I have shit to do. Okay, right now what I'm going to do is fucking insult you, then I'm going to go insult some other motherfuckers. If you don't like it, if you want to fucking whine about it, well, you could donate money to my patron. Except I don't have a patron because I have a fucking job. What you can do, however, is you can send me an email to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com. Because see, I have my own fucking website. I have like a real website. I don't have to rely on feminist book and censorship tube in order to have a presence on the internet. Because I'm smart enough to buy a fucking domain name. You know how I can buy a domain name? Because I have a job. I have some fucking money. I can buy things. I don't have to spend all my time on the internet begging for money. Donate money to me because I'm trying to be alternative media. Need you to donate some money to me. Motherfucking morons. Alright. That's enough of that for right now. Wait, do I want to do this? In the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy, today is still the 12th of April in the year of our Lord, the Trump and Fuhrer 2017. Hang on. You look at this real quick. I got some shit. Oh, Stefan Molyneux. Stefan Molyneux has uploaded a video. Oh, there was a fucking, oh yeah, oh, another terrorist attack. Yes, more natural selection. You know, Aaron Clary, and I'm not saying this like, oh, he's stealing my ideas or anything. Aaron Clary sounds a little bit more like me than he should sometimes. So I read this post he wrote about why he doesn't care about the terrorist attacks. And one of the things he said, he's like, look, most of these people killed in these terrorist attacks are liberals. And that's not really a bad thing. I'm very, very grossly paraphrasing. Before you attribute anything I say to Aaron Clary, go and actually read the post yourself in case I misinterpreted, misspoke, misremembered, what the fuck ever, okay? So do not fucking attribute anything to Aaron Clary based on what I'm saying. Okay? Don't fucking do it. Read his shit. Get it directly from him. But my interpretation of the... And he's like, yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm thinking back, it's like, dude, you're stealing my material. I'm the one who said 9/11 wasn't really that bad because most of the people who died were New Yorkers. And fuck New York. I've been saying for years that the best thing that could happen to the United States of America, other than the federal government going away, would be for somebody to detonate a nuclear weapon in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles. That would be the most beautiful thing that could happen to the United States of America as a nation state. And of course, when the Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bombing, right? When that went off, there was all this consternation because there was apparently a daycare center in there where the employees brought their kids to be taken care of and the kids were killed. And I'm the one, I came on this podcast and I said this. You can find these if you go look for them. I said, those kids are better off dead because they were the children of government employees. They were going to grow up to be liberals. They were going to grow up to be Democrats. They were going to grow up to be parasites. They're better off dead. So I'm reading this and I'm going, damn, Aaron, you're starting to sound like me, which I'm like, I'm a bastard. I don't know if you want to sound like me. I'm just saying. Anyhow, it's a great post. You should go read it. It's called Something Something. It's on captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Go fucking look for it. I'm not your goddamn slave. Figure it out yourself. Anyway, yeah, I have Stefan Molyneux uploaded, so who cares? All right. Closing email so I don't get distracted. Did I mention that in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy? We're here at the palatial recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society. There is, hang on, let me look. There is a female. I'll give her female. There's a female outside the window wearing a bikini. She's not really my style. She's not necessarily ugly. She's just not my thing. There were some hotties out on the trail today when I went trail running. Ooh, man, there was, yeah. Whew, yeah, almost injured myself a couple of times looking at the girls. Speaking of girls, man, I'm really out of practice. I just finished up like 3 solid weeks of busting my ass at this, what do you call that thing? Oh yeah, my job, the thing I have where I don't have to go on the internet and fucking cyberbag about you putting money in my patron account, you know, because I'm not a fucking faggot and I have some skills and I actually get a job and I don't sit around under delusion that making YouTube videos is a job and that YouTube owes me a fucking living and that demonetizing my videos is oppressing my freedom of speech, because I have, hold on, let me check. Yes, I do have a ball sack. It's right here. I got my hand on it right now. I can confirm I have a ball sack. So anyhow, what was I talking about? Oh, girls. Ball sack, girls, fits together nicely. Let's just stop. Let's stop for a moment. Let's think about how fortunate you are to be listening to this podcast. Let's talk about me for a minute. Let's talk about how fortunate you are to be blessed with the opportunity to listen to my voice. You really should. You should be counting your blessings right now, because there are a lot of people out there who have never heard my podcast and they're not going to hear this episode. And this episode is going to be great because I am on a roll, because I am listening. I'll come back to the girls. I know what the fuck I'm doing here. Just calm down. I am listening to, and I've not listened to much of Joe Rogan Experience, the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. I have not listened to many of those. I did listen to the one with him and Jordan Peterson, which I have praised and which was brilliant. And I've got some clips from that. One of these days, I'm going to play those clips and talk about it. Right now, I'm listening to Joe Rogan Experience episode 9/11, featuring Alex Jones. And it is great. And Joe Rogan talks about how he's like, oh man, I know Alex Jones is coming. I got to get him on episode 9/11. So I'm doing all these other podcasts and getting them in because I want Alex Jones to be episode 9/11. And no, all right, look, here's the deal. I give Alex Jones shit about the chemtrails. I do. And I give Alex Jones shit about, you know, like, I got the male vitality drug. You know, and he said, I give him shit about those things. Okay. I have a lot of admiration and respect for Alex Jones. And he is just, I'm only about 40 minutes into this podcast. And shit, I think it's like 3 hours and 20 minutes or something. It's really long. I have a lot of respect for Alex Jones. I really do. He's got his presentation. I mean, the man is full of energy. Yeah, he's just like balls to the wall. He's going on the thing. And Joe Rogan is just like, whoa, slow down. You just threw out like 7 fucking things. We have to break the and talk about one at a time. And Alex Jones, he's just like going, man. It's like the gate is opened and he is gone, man. You're right here at the first curve. Alex Jones is like 17 fucking miles down the road, man. He is fucking ball busting, no holes barred, all out, just fucking going. And I admire his energy. I admire his enthusiasm. I admire his speaking skills. I admire his sense of humor. I admire his devotion to the trade. Yeah, sure, I disagree with him about some shit, but it doesn't fucking matter. I sincerely believe the man is devoted to getting to truths. I think the man is devoted to what he's doing. I think he gives a shit and he's passionate about what he's doing and it comes through. I have a lot of fucking admiration and respect for Alex Jones. So go find, say, I've only listened about the first 40 minutes so far and it's just brilliant. Joe Rogan Experience, episode 9/11. It's on the YouTube. It's probably other places as well with Alex Jones. I highly recommend listening to it. And, you know, it makes me think, it's because I really don't listen to Alex Jones very much. Every once in a while, if I can fucking talk. By the way, today's beer is another Funkworks Mango King, one of my favorites. God damn, that is good. I don't listen to / watch Alex Jones very often. But listening to him on Joe Rogan, makes me think that I should listen to him a little more often. And Joe Rogan is a very good interviewer, too. Just in the few podcasts of his I've noticed, he's really good at asking questions and focusing people in and diving into things and getting his guest to explain stuff, you know, going in and just doing the things that a good interviewer can do, having a conversation and bringing things out and keeping things on track when they need to be and letting things go off track when they should and going down rabbit holes and following, but then tying things up and asking intelligent questions and, you know, challenging, not in a way of, oh, you're an idiot, but, you know, just, well, okay, so what evidence do you have for the, you know, and just bringing out the best in his guests. Joe Rogan is a very good interviewer. All right, girls, back to girls. It's always back to girls. I spent like 3 weeks at my, I wonder, you know, I really don't think this is going to get old anytime in the near future. I spent the last 3 weeks working for a living, which is why I don't have to cyberbag on the internet. I spent the last 3 weeks working for a living, which is why I don't have to cyberbag on the fucking internet like a goddamn fucking woman. I spent the last 3 weeks working for a living, which is why I don't have to fucking come on the internet begging you to go to my motherfucking Patreon account and give me $1 a month, because every little bit helps. And if you don't pay for my podcast, you're stealing. And I'm being oppressed by YouTube because they demonetize my videos. So anyhow, I spent the last 3 weeks working for a living because I have this thing called a fucking job, which some of you fucking right-winger free market capitalist faggots apparently don't know how to get. And during the process of all this working, I didn't really interact with any girls. And by girls, I don't mean females. By girls, I mean girls that I would fuck. I interacted with women I work with, but I'm not going to fuck any of them because none of them are attractive. And also, it's always a bad idea to fuck you girls that you work with. I've gone out with a couple of girls I've worked with, but anyway, bad idea. Generally speaking, bad idea. And I didn't realize just in 3 weeks how badly out of practice I became. Because I'm at a restaurant the other day, and the waitress was fairly cute. And when it was all said and done, I was leaving, I realized, it's like, holy shit, I did not even make the slightest attempt to flirt with, much less hit on, the waitress. I was kind of disappointed in myself, because normally, if the waitress is cute, I'm going to flirt with her pretty fucking hard, and there's a really good chance I'll try to knock it up, or hit it up, or whatever the fuck, you know, knock it up is get it pregnant, you don't do that. Hit it up means stick your dick in its butt and blow a load. Or something close to that. Anyhow, normally I would be flirting with the waitress. I didn't even flirt with the waitress. And when it's all said and done, the really bad part is I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, I hope she doesn't think that I thought she was ugly because I didn't flirt with her, because man, I wouldn't want to insult the girl. So anyhow, I've got to get back in the groove of actually interacting with women as something I would like to bang instead of just people I work with. Because after 3 weeks of, you know, working for a living instead of cyber begging, I've, like, in just 3 weeks, I've, like, forgotten how to flirt with girls. It's pretty pathetic. Not that I'm good at flirting with girls to start with, but hey, man, it's the effort that counts. All right. Anyway. I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling about as giddy as a right-wing YouTuber that just got a $20 donation to his Patreon account. All right, I got... Oh, you fucking right-wingers and your fucking cyberbagging. Guys, you're a bunch of fucking faggots. All right, speaking of faggots, let's do some shit from the interwebs. Get this off of my... I have so much shit to talk about. Jesus. Fucking Christ, it is piling up like you guys would not believe. The adopted son of Jerry Sandusky, former Penn State University football coach convicted of child sex abuse, has been arrested and charged with sexually assaulting children. Oh, goodness, imagine that. The son of a pedophile is sexually abusing children. I'm so fucking shocked. Jeffrey Sandusky, 41, blah, blah, blah. He, after two teenage girls, age 16 and 15. Now again, a 15 and 16-year-old girl, slightly more understandable than 18-year-old boys. But still, I mean, dude, come on. We know that you're not supposed to bang. And there's the whole thing, age of consent. You know, I've said this before. There are 16-year-old girls in the United States who are perfectly capable of consenting to sex. There are 40-year-old women in the United States who are not mentally capable of consenting to sex. And I've taught you, but you gotta, because you have the law and the government, you gotta, oh, that reminds me. But you gotta have age of consent laws because you have a government and a justice system. In Ancapadice, every person would be looked at individually to determine are they able to consent. Okay, but this is not to say, oh, Jeffrey Sandusky didn't do anything he shouldn't have his ass kicked for or whatever. Just saying there is a difference between fucking a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old girl, which I don't even know if he actually fucked them, we'll get there, and fucking 8-year-old boys. The other point is the idea that Jerry Sandusky's adopted son, who is one of the ugliest humans, they got his picture here, absolutely fucking ugly, fucking just looks low intelligence, white trash. I'm in a good mood. There's going to be nothing but insults in this podcast today. If you came here looking for fucking intelligent discourse, yeah, well, you should go to one of those fucking right-wing YouTube channels where they fucking start off by asking you to donate to their fucking Patreon account. And then you can masturbate to how awesome Donald Trump is. Oh my God, because Donald Trump, because he's a light bringer and he's going to make America great again, because he's not like all the other politicians. Anyway, hold on. I'm looking for something. I gotta find it. I got a pile over here. Is this it? Yes. Got it. Okay, here we go. Where the fuck was I? Oh, said Sandusky solicited them for oral sex and nude photographs to be sent to his cell phone. Guys, if you're gonna fucking try to get sex from underage people, don't have them send you photos to your cell phone where it can be proven. How stupid. Look, again, this has nothing to do. And this has nothing to do with, is a picture of a naked 16-year-old girl child pornography? Should child pornography be illegal? And I'm not saying it should, I'm not saying it shouldn't. It's just sit all that the fuck aside for a minute. You live in a society where, right or wrong, like it or don't like it, agree or disagree, none of that matters. In the United States today, having a picture of a naked 15-year-old girl is illegal. And you will get in trouble for this. If knowing that you can go to prison for having a picture of a 15-year-old girl naked, you still ask a 15-year-old girl to send you a picture of her naked, you're stupid. You need to go to jail. You need to be ass raped by other criminals, and then you need to die because you're just dumber than fuck. Jesus, guys, right? It's kind of like this. It's kind of like, let's say, everybody who knows where this is going, raise your hand. Let's say there's an online service and it's called, I don't know, Censorship Tube. And let's say that censorship tube is left wing. And let's say that censorship tube censors videos that are not left wing and demonetizes them. If you go and put your fucking right wing video on left wing censorship tube, when left wing censorship tube fucking demonetizes your fucking video, you can't whine. You're just fucking stupid. You're stupid. See, that's called stupid. You are stupid. And this Funkworks Mango King beer is delicious. All right, Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends podcast, also Freedom Fiends radio show, founded, hosted, driven by Michael W. Dean, another guy who sometimes I want to smack him upside the head with a fucking 2x4, but I still have a lot of respect for the motherfucker because he has accomplished great things, including getting a anarchist radio show on the fucking radio. Pretty sure none of you have fucking done that, or any of you who are motherfucking anarchist gotten a fucking anarchist show on the fucking radio? No, you haven't? Oh, well then shut the fuck up. Michael, I'm listening to Freedom Fiends episode 1108, which is entitled There Are Only Two Genders, which helped renew a little bit of my respect for Michael. Because one of the hosts they've had on there in the past is MK Lords. MK Lords is this stupid fucking atheist social justice warrior cunt who claims to be an anarcho-capitalist, but she's one of these people who thinks that there's more than one, there's more than two genders. Everybody has their own unique gender, and the patriarchy is oppressing me. And when I found out that Michael allowed this bitch to come on his show, I lost a huge amount of respect for him. Anyhow, during the discussion on this episode, Michael said something that I thought was fucking brilliant, because I've talked about age of consent in the past, and I've talked about, you know, in greater depth, why we, as a, if we're going to be a status society, which we are a status society, you have to have an age of consent, right? You, again, it's just like booze. You know, well, so there's this magic thing that happens to you. You're 20 years old, and then the next day you're 21. And now suddenly you can just buy booze, right? Because there's this like magic thing that happened to you. Now, everyone knows that that's complete bullshit. But because you have a government and you have the state and you have these laws that have to be applied to everyone uniformly across the board, which you're not going to have in Ancapidice, you have to have age of consent for things like drugs, alcohol, sex, marijuana, driving a car, whatever. In Ancapidice, if you're capable of driving a car, then you get to drive a car. In Ancapidice, if you're capable of drinking liquor, you get to drink liquor. In Ancapidice, if you're capable of having sex, you get to fucking have sex. Michael said something that was fucking brilliant. He said, and I quote, "Age of consent for everything should be when you are willing to support yourself." Unquote. I wrote that down and I think that's fucking brilliant. So, for example, if you're a right-wing fucking faggot on YouTube and you have to beg people to donate to your patron, you're not supporting yourself. You don't get to consent to anything. Meanwhile, yeah, there's probably 15-year-old girls out there who could actually get a fucking job and pay their own bills. They get to consent. You don't. All right? Go fuck yourself. Anyhow, that was the little... get your ass over there. That was that. All right, back to fucking Jeffrey Sandusky asking for naked pictures of 15-year-old girls because he has no sense. Sandusky had been dating one girl's mother and lived in her home for about 5 years. So Sandusky couldn't even afford his own house. He had to live with the mother of one of these little fucking 16 or 15-year-old girls. Maybe he should have set up a patron account and cyberbegged. Then he, oh wait, then you guys just live in your mother's basements anyway. The explicit messages were discovered by the girl's father. Holy shit, one of these girls has a father. Well, that's pretty fucking unusual. At least Jerry Sandusky was smart enough to prey on children of single mothers. See, again, who discovered? Did the mother figure out No, of course not. It was the father. Because the mother said, oh my God, I'm dating Jerry Sandusky. Well, what woman would date Jerry Sandusky's son? Are you chicks really that fucking stupid? The son of a fucking pedophile. I can promise you, it's been a long, I don't know if this is an article. I can promise you Jerry Sandusky molested this kid when he was young. I can promise you that happened. I promise you, this is a fact. Your feels and your feelings and your fucking feels, and I'm racist, sexist, homophobic, I'm transphobic, I'm fucking phobic, I'm fucking every... Yes, I'm the most hate-filled piece of shit on the planet Earth. I promise you, Jerry Sandusky sexually abused this man, his son. I think it's his adopted son. I think it says that in here somewhere. Sandusky, blah, blah. Anyway... I promise you, Jerry Sandusky sexually adopted him too. Jerry Sandusky sexually molested Jeffrey Sandusky. I promise you that happened. What woman would date this man? The fuck is wrong with you fucking whores? So anyhow... The father of one of these girls figured out what was going on because God knows the woman's not going to fucking figure it out because women can't fucking think because they only have two compartments in their brain. One is for shopping, the other one they don't fucking use. Judge Kelly Gillette Walker, hyphenated last name, there's your first indicator she's a dumb bitch, set bail Monday, $200,000, barred from contact with minors. He was charged with a total of 14 counts, including unlawful contact with minors. Not really sure what the fuck that means. Solicitation of involuntary deviant sexual intercourse. Again, I'm not saying that Jeffrey Sandusky should be fucking 15-year-old girls. I'm saying, what kind of shit is this? What does this mean? See, this is the problem with statism. What does this mean? Unlawful contact with minors. Solicitation of involuntary deviant sexual intercourse. So if it was just involuntary sexual intercourse that wasn't deviant, it would be okay? Or if it was voluntary deviant sexual intercourse, that would be okay? What does this mean? This is just bullshit. Either you fucking raped somebody or you didn't. That's kind of where, there's 74 different million definitions of rape. I learned that in my women's studies class. And solicitation of statutory sexual assault. I have no idea what the fuck that is, but it sounds really hot. I mean, what the fuck is this shit? Preliminary hearing scheduled for February 22nd. As you know, this is not a current events show, so this article is ancient. He's blah, blah, blah. Heavily redacted criminal. According to a heavily redacted criminal complaint, okay, what happened to government transparency? The criminal complaint should not be censored. The minors received the inappropriate messages from Sandusky in early March. Again, guys, stop being stupid, dude. It's sending sexually explicit text messages to 15-year-old girls. It does not matter if that should objectively... Let's say that somehow or another we can conclude sending sex messages to 15-year-old girls is somehow objectively perfectly okay and nobody should ever be punished for it. It doesn't matter. You live in a society where you will be punished for it, so don't fucking do it. Jesus fucking Christ, man. It's like you got, like, don't stick your finger in that electrical socket.
Oh, okay, I stick my finger in electrical.
Didn't I just fucking tell you not to stick your finger in the electrical socket?
I can't believe I got shocked. I can't believe YouTube censored my video. I'm alternate right. My patron account.
Fuck you. No, we don't need to talk and we aren't going to, the minor reportedly replied. You did what you did and I'm not going to give you a chance to try and justify it. So, hold on. Not only was... I'm inferring from this message. So it doesn't say what Jerry Sandusky texted to them. No, wait. Hold on. The alleged text request by Sandusky was redacted. Of course it was. But he reportedly said, it's not weird because he studied medicine before telling the minor not to show the text to anyone else. Yes, because if you tell a teenager not to show something to other people, the teenager will, of course, absolutely not show that. Like, have any of you people ever been teenagers before? God damn it. So Sinisi said something and blah, blah, blah. So apparently the teenager responded, quote, no, we don't need to talk and we aren't going to. You did what you did and I'm not going to give you a chance to try and justify it. Okay, so not only did Jerry Sandusky try to fuck, molest, get naked pictures, whatever, of a 15-year-old girl, not only, I mean, did I say Jerry? Whatever, Jeffrey Sandusky tried to, not only did Jeffrey think he could tell a 15-year-old girl to do something and she would do it, but Jeffrey Sandusky, in a brilliant display of how little understanding he has of the female mind, such as it is, he thought he could reason with a 15-year-old girl. Now, if you've ever tried to reason with a woman, period, regardless of age, you know that this is a fucking futile thing to do. But the idea of reasoning with a 15-year-old girl, holy shit, this guy, he deserves everything he's gonna fucking get because that is the height of stupidity. Well, all right, the height of stupidity would be putting your fucking right-wing video on YouTube and then whining like a fucking sissy when it gets demonetized. The second stupidest thing you could do in your life is thinking that you can fucking intellectually reason with a 15-year-old girl. Sandusky, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Study shows how information sources affect voters. Here's another beautiful example of quote-unquote science figuring out things that non-stupid people already knew. If you listen to this podcast, you probably know everything I'm about to tell you is presented in this post, because if you listen to this podcast, you're not stupid. Okay, here we go. For all the fact-checking and objective reporting... Objective reporting. Objective reporting produced by major media outlets.
Oh my God.
Oh God, this is from scipost.org, a website obviously run by fucking morons. Objective reporting. By major media outlets. Oh, God damn it. Oh, fucking Christ. Oh, Jesus. Hold on, I just gotta catch my... How can you people be this fucking stupid? Objective reporting. Donald Trump is literally Hitler! Hillary Clinton is the most qualified person to ever run for president! Iraq has weapons of mass destruction! Oh, the objective reporting produced by the major media outlets. Oh, there is no limit to human stupidity. There just fucking isn't. For all the fact-checking and objective reporting produced by major media outlets, voters in the U.S. nonetheless rely heavily on their pre-existing views when deciding if politician statements are true or not, according to a new study co-authored by MIT scholars. Hey guys, did you know that people's pre-existing biases bias their opinions? Holy shit! People at MIT had to do a fucking study to figure that out. Oh my god, they're so smart. I wonder how much of my tax money funded this. The study, conducted during the U.S. presidential primaries for the 2016 election, uses a series of statements by President Donald J. Trump, then one of the many candidates in the Republican field, to see how partisanship and prior beliefs interact with evaluations of objective fact. We did any studies like this about Hussein Obama? Oh no, of course not, because Hussein Obama's a half-breed, and he's the Messiah, and he's a light bringer, and he's going to close Guantanamo Bay. The researchers looked at both true and false statements Trump made. Who exactly determined which statements were true and which statements were false? There's your first fucking problem with this so-called study. And surveyed voters from both parties about their responses. Gosh, I wonder if the Republicans thought Trump was right and the Democrats thought Trump was wrong. Whoa, I bet I could never predict that would be the outcome. I sure am glad we did a study to figure this out, because nobody could possibly guess what the outcome of this is going to be. They found that the source of the claim was significant for members of both parties. For instance, when Trump falsely suggested vaccines cause autism, a claim rejected by scientists. What are these scientists' names? Okay, you cannot, once again, we can go into science. You can never prove that vaccines, broadly speaking, do not cause autism. If one vaccine... one time in one person causes autism, then vaccines, in some cases, do cause autism. You can gather evidence that all vaccines do not always cause autisms. Autism. It's like I can prove there is not a unicorn in the recording studio with me and Randy right now. I cannot prove, science cannot prove, that a unicorn does not exist in the entirety of the cosmos. So when Donald Trump said that vaccines falsely suggested, what does that mean? If he falsely suggested it, that means he didn't suggest it. He did truthfully say, language, it has meaning, you fucking retards. Okay, when Donald Trump suggested vaccines cause autism, what exactly did he say? Did he say all vaccines always cause autism? Did he say some vaccines sometimes cause autism? Did he say some vaccines might cause... We don't know, because, of course, we're not presented with this information. This is why anytime you read about a scientific study, you should remember it's all bullshit. If you can't find the actual study for yourself and assess... access and assess how the study was actually conducted in detail, don't believe a fucking thing you hear. Okay? All right, anyhow, when Trump falsely suggested, according to your opinion, suggested vaccine causes autism, a claim rejected by scientists, these are the same scientists who believe in global warming, Republicans were more likely to believe the claim when it was attributed to Trump than when the claim was presented without attribution. So in other words, Republicans are more likely to believe Republicans. People at MIT had to spend time and money doing research to figure this out. This is called being stupid. You and I, we knew this. Okay, global warming wackos are more likely to believe global warming wackos. Atheists are more likely to believe atheists. Right-wing faggots on YouTube who are whining about their Patreon account are more likely to believe right-wing faggots on YouTube whining about their Patreon accounts. Anarcho-capitalists are more likely to believe anarcho-capitalists, and dumbasses who think the fucking media can report on things objectively are more likely to believe dumbasses who think the media can report on things objectively. I didn't need time and money and a scientific study to figure that out, because I'm not a fucking retard. Okay. On the other hand, when Trump correctly stated the financial cost of the Iraq war, Democrats were less likely to believe his claim than they were when the same claim was presented in unattributed form. So when a Republican says something, Democrats are more likely to not believe it. Oh my God, we had to do a study to figure this out. Oh, you're so fucking stupid. This is MIT. This is where the teachers are supposed to be, the smart people. This is fucking MIT. Is this, I'm asking you, you're listening, is this news to you? So if an atheist says something, a Christian is less likely to believe him. If a Mormon says something, an atheist is less likely to believe him. When an anarcho-capitalist says something, a socialist is less likely to... Did this need a study? Are you fucking moron? Do you fucking morons at MIT, do you have a fucking Patreon account that I can donate to? Are you fucking Patreon account stupid? Because you sound like your fucking Patreon account stupid. You are doing some yeah, wow, we went to the ocean and we discovered it's full of water. Holy shit. I should write a blog post about this. I mean, the link is going to be here. There's really, do I really need to make any more fun of this? I mean, it's just more of this. In a partisan time, a solution to misinformation has to be partisan, because there just aren't authorities that will be recognized by both sides of the aisle. Whoa! Oh my God! No fucking way! Or we could take everyone who believes that without the government, there wouldn't be any roads. We could take all those people, we could slit their fucking throats, let them bleed out and die, and then we could live in a society that's not full of stupid people. What if we did that? Oh no, because then the 99% would all be dead and there'd be nobody to buy your motherfucking iPhone. Why is the cost of living so unaffordable? The mainstream narrative is the problem of low wages. Actually, the problem is the soaring cost of living. Essentials such as healthcare, housing, higher education, and government services were as cheap as they once were. A wage of $10 or $12 an hour would be more than enough to maintain a decent everyday life. Here are some examples in the real world. I've talked about this before. This blog post is great. It's over at oftwominds.com by Charles U. Smith, which I don't know a lot about this guy, but this is a great post. The link will be there. You can go read it. I'm not going to go too in depth on this one. But yes, the cost of living, and there's a lot of reasons why the cost of living is going up. Part of it is, of course, because of government, the regulations, the fucking interference. You gotta have an ADHD fucking, or not ADA accessible ramp into your business. Well, the business has to spend $3,000 making a fucking ramp. Well, they got to pass that cost on to the goddamn customers. Here are some examples from the real world. In 1952, it cost $30 to have a baby in an excellent hospital. If we adjust that by official inflation, as measured by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, inflation calculator 2017, the cost would be $275. What does it cost to have a baby delivered in a hospital today? $15,000, $10,000, who even knows, given the convoluted billing process in today's sick care system? And he's right. He's right about this whole, he's got the charts here, he's got the Fred database, he's got everything, go read it, it's great. He's absolutely right. It's not a problem with your fucking wages. It's a problem with the fucking cost. How does shit cost this much fucking money? I'm here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, and apartments. Okay, they're building student housing apartments all over the fucking place. I'm not fucking making this up. Right now, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a whole giant complex out there. There's like 6 huge complexes of apartments specifically for students being built right now, just being built. There's a whole nother shitload of these things that are less than a year old. There's fucking student apartments everywhere in this fucking town because it's a college town. A fucking studio apartment. Studio. A living room / kitchen and a bedroom with a fucking bathroom, with a shower, not even a bathtub, is over $1,000 a month. Dude, when I lived in Houston, Texas, I had a 2-bedroom unit with a washer and dryer for like $450 a month. How in the fuck is a studio apartment worth $1,000 a month? It's not low wages, motherfuckers. It's inflated cost of living. And that's why I'm going to set up a Patreon account. And I'm going to start coming on this fucking podcast. And I'm going to cyber beg for your fucking money like I'm a little goddamn fucking alt-right faggot.